From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Friday, August 8th. Coming up, the weather story that dominated the news this summer was the Texas flood tragedy. An Illinois meteorologist breaks down what happened and why you should never risk driving through a flash flood. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. A community of tiny homes to house and support the chronically homeless is coming to Urbana. IPM's May Antar has more.
What was once an empty plot of land will soon become Hope Village. Marty Smith is the project lead. He says the 27 homes were designed with accessibility in mind. One floor, kitchen, bathroom, bed, and they are within walking distance from a community center.
The realization that we're really going to impact a vulnerable portion of our community, those who are in heavy need. And we're doing it through an innovative approach. Again, this is a unique project. I think it's going to be an example for other communities across the country.
Smith says the project is now fully funded after some pauses in construction. He hopes to have things up and running by next spring. May Antar, IPM News.
There were no signs of the FBI yesterday confronting any Democratic Texas lawmakers who have sought refuge in Illinois. Alex Degman reports.
About 30 Texas House Democrats have been here this week to avoid a redistricting vote on a plan to help the GOP preserve its hold on the U.S. House. President Trump requested the remap. Republican U.S. Senator John Cornyn of Texas said the FBI will help locate the protesting lawmakers, though it's no secret many are holed up in a far west suburban hotel. But Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker says the FBI can't do much else.
There is no federal law that allows them to arrest Texas Democrats who are here visiting the state of Illinois.
Pritzker maintains that Texas redistricting outside of the decennial census is cheating. I'm Alex Degman.
The Trump administration is ending a 45-year-old federal database that tracks the financial cost of climate disasters. The inflation-adjusted data shows Great Plains states have seen three times as many billion-dollar weather events over the last 5 years compared to recent decades. Geography professor Eric Nost at the University of Guelph in Canada says this database was a useful service.
It compiled information from both public sources as well as from the private sector, insurance agencies and reinsurers. It brought together this information that really only the federal government could bring together.
NOST is in a network of scientists working to keep federal data public. Several Great Plains states have seen billion-dollar damage from severe storms, droughts, and other extreme weather. Two people are dead after a helicopter crashed into a barge on the Mississippi River near Alton, Illinois, yesterday. Corporal Dallas Thompson of the Missouri State Highway Patrol says the helicopter was carrying workers who were doing maintenance work on power lines. No other injuries were reported. He says the lightweight utility helicopter hit a line and crashed into the barge. Electric company Ameren confirmed a contractor and subcontractor were repairing tower lighting and maker balls on power lines in the region. The Federal Aviation Administration and the National Transportation Safety Board will investigate the crash. Still to come, the weather story that dominated the news this summer was the Texas flood tragedy. An Illinois meteorologist breaks down what happened and why you should never risk driving through a flash flood. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Your forecast for today, mostly sunny with a high of 91 degrees and a south wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear skies with a low of 72 degrees, south wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 90 degrees, south wind 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of 71 degrees, south wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. And for Sunday, mostly sunny with a high of 90 degrees, and a southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, you've heard of midlife crises, but what about quarter life? The years between adolescence and midlife come with their own unique challenges. We'll talk with a psychotherapist about what it takes to not just survive, but thrive during this stage of life. I'm Christine Herman. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. The weather story that dominated the news this summer was the Texas flood tragedy, which killed at least 130 people. This week, our new Weather Realness podcast analyzes what happened and why you should always be prepared for flash flooding here in central Illinois. Here is an excerpt of this week's episode.
The weather and climate often cause concern and curiosity, but understanding the facts behind the phenomena can be a challenge. We're here to help. From the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, and Illinois Public Media, welcome to Weather Realness, a weekly podcast about the skies above Illinois and the world. I'm your host, Maddie Stover, a doctoral student in physics here at the U of I.
And I'm Jeff Frame, a teaching associate professor in the Department of Climate, Meteorology, and Atmospheric Sciences here at the U of I.
Can you take us through both the weather events of July 3rd and 4th that caused this flash flooding event in Texas?
All right. So at 1:18 p.m. on July 3rd, so the day before the flood, the National Weather Service issued a flood watch for the affected area, calling for 5 to 7 inches of rain. At this point, the Guadalupe River was at 0.3 feet, well under flood stage, as measured at the local gauge in Kerrville, Texas. Then heavy showers and thunderstorms developed that evening and produced heavy rain that evening into the early morning hours past midnight there going into the 4th of July. This prompted the National Weather Service at 1:14 a.m. to issue a flash flood warning for the affected area. The river at this point had only risen to 0.8 feet. So at this point, flooding was not being measured at least by that river gauge. Then at 4:03 a.m., that warning was upgraded to what is called a flash flood emergency. And that is the strongest worded flood statement that the Weather Service can issue. And I do want to point out that even though there have been some cuts and early retirements in the National Weather Service, that office down in Austin and San Antonio was fully staffed. So around the time that flash flood emergency was issued, the river had risen to 1.7 feet. That was at 3:45 in the morning. By 4:45, 1 hour later, the river had risen to 23.4 feet. So we're talking about 20-foot-plus rise in an hour, and it probably went higher than that because then the gauge was knocked out for 3 hours.
Can you give us a sense of how fast this water would have been moving?
Yeah, it was not moving slowly. Certainly, it wasn't a lazy river that you might see in an amusement park, but it was moving, you know, probably at, you know, many feet per second. And it wasn't clear water either. There was a lot of mud and dirt and runoff in there. And of course, trees, sometimes entire houses or remains of houses. Once the house goes in the river, they do tend to collapse under their own weight. And cars and all kinds of debris.
And we also for context, which is helpful, the water is extremely heavy. Like if you go and pick up a bucket of water, that's going to be relatively hard to lift. So if you think about, you know, 20 feet of water, that's a lot of force behind that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Just pick up a gallon of milk. So if you think about, you know, you drive your car and you end up with water outside your car and you won't be able to open that door against the force of the water until the water comes in the car, in which case, well, then there's another problem that you can't breathe in water. And so that's why over half of flash flooding fatalities in the United States occur in automobiles.
Yes, that's why the National Weather Service flooding emergency says to turn away from the direction of the water.
It's turn around, don't drown. Or if you have water flowing across the road, it can actually erode the roadway from underneath. And now that road can no longer support your car, or you think the water is a lot shallower than it really is. So basically, don't drive through water if you don't know how deep it is.
That was Maddie Stover, the host of the Weather Realness podcast, along with Jeff Frame, a professor in the Department of Climate, Meteorology, and Atmospheric Sciences at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. To hear the entire Weather Realness podcast, go to the Illinois Public Media YouTube channel or listen tomorrow at 11 a.m. on WILL AM 580. The team discusses the most flood-prone areas here in Illinois and emergency procedures when there's a flash flood warning in Champaign County. That's it for today. 2 and 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Oriana. Reporting today contributed by Mai Antar, Alex Degman, Celia Yulpez-Jepson, Sarah Fentham, Maddie Stover, and Jeff Frame. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 and 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.